You're listening to Eureka on Monocle Radio, brought to you by the team behind The Entrepreneurs, the show all about inspiring people, innovative companies, and fresh ideas in global business. I'm Tom Edwards. Menswear designer Masamitsu Hata is the co-founder of Timotei Paris, a footwear brand combining Japanese minimalist style with impeccable French craftsmanship. Mas's early frames of reference were perhaps influenced by his upbringing in a small town near Hiroshima. Following a six-year stint at Berluti, Mas left the brand to further expand his perspectives and to explore different design philosophies. He launched Timotei Paris in 2017 alongside Pierre Riviere, focusing on loafers, Chelsea boots, and formal work shoes. Since then, Timotei's expanded its range of products to include sneakers, accessories, and apparel, all handcrafted at ateliers throughout Europe and available at the finest global department stores. This month, they're opening their first store in Paris, located between Bastille and the Seine. So, how do you build up the courage to take the leap from an established luxury fashion house to start your own label? And how do you expand without ever compromising your commitment to high-quality craftsmanship? Well, here is Masamitsu Hata with more on how his journey began.
I was at Berluti, and when Alessandro Sartori, who recruited me, when he left, actually I started to have this desire of like starting my own thing. So I created Timotei Paris to start my own journey.
And tell me, was that something that had been in your head all through your career as, a designer? Did you always know you were going to do your own thing one day, somehow or other?
Actually, I stayed at Berluti for 6 years, and it was more about like getting trained and ready to be a good designer. I started to realize like my personality is different from what Berluti represent. So Berluti is more about very established and very sharp and quite loud in terms of designs. And for me, for myself, as I am Japanese, probably I'm more subtle, I'm more simplistic and minimalist. So I thought like my design process is very different. So I wanted to kind of bet on my belief, actually.
Well, and tell me about that, because I think if people now, probably there may be listeners who know your brand, maybe they're your customers already, but if new followers of the brand have a look now, they'll see that minimalism. It's classic shapes, beautifully done. It's all about creating with the hand, with done with craft. So many of these values that we at Monocle know from our favorite Japanese brands, actually. Is that a challenge, though? Because people might say, well, there's lots of trainers out there. There's lots of classic trainers, but I think yours have a quality of their own. How did you deal with that? Was it a pressure a little bit?
It's not really a pressure, because it's really coming naturally from me. I'm actually not trying to be somebody different, or like we are not doing like a huge market study to analyze which shoes is working, but we are just coming up with some ideas, and then we test, and we ask our friends, we test with our client which color, which material is working, and organically we are actually developing some collections. Now it started to take off and we know where we are going, but at the beginning like we are very different. We started with making some loafers made in France with artisans, and me and my co-founder, Pierre, we sat down and just assessing our ideas. And this was a good process, because we came to realize like what we want to offer to our client is not only products, it's more like experience. And what we want as experience, actually, me and him, we put importance on journey. And what excites us is always like walking around, finding new street, and just like finding nice shops or cafe. And it's just such a nice time when you're on holiday. So,
well, no, and it's funny, and these are kind of Monocle values. And so many of the great businesses we've spoken to, even on this program, because of the pandemic, they had this reaction, this pivot away from just product. Obviously, the product is king, but to this experience and buying into something that's a bit bigger. So important to do that. Tell me a bit, Master, about how you refined these skills that you clearly have. What about your training and your grounding? I'm always interested to know how much of it, I don't know, did you learn through an academic approach to design?
So I was born and raised in Japan, in a very traditional family. And there, back then, like it was very monoculture. Like everybody follows one thing and everybody believes in one thing. So I was not really fitting in. So I was actually trying to start finding my identity when I was really little. Then I saw by chance on TV, like this fashion show report from Paris and stuff. I was very excited as a child. So this was when I started to like get obsessed with fashion. And then soon after, like in Japan, we had this huge wave of luxury brand opening shop. And my small town was not exception. And I saw this little like Hermes shop. You can't believe like we had a Hermes shop. And I was just like 13, 14, but going to the shop, touching all this cashmere and the nicely finished leather, it was just like going to temple. You see, it's just like nothing like this ever existed in my town. So it was a huge shock. So since then, I was getting obsessed with fine details. I studied London in Ravenspon College. It was a very nice experience. And I actually was given highly commended at the Graduate Fashion Week by Christopher Bailey from Burberry and Brenda Bailey from Harper's Bazaar. So after study, I thought I'm going back to Japan, but this event encouraged me to go to Paris. Then this dreaming boy, like trying to become a designer, arriving in Paris, but the reality was really different. It was very difficult. I didn't speak French and I didn't even like, I didn't know anybody there. So I was just trying to get anything related to fashion. So I kept sending my CV and one day I get recruited at Galliano, John Galliano, as an intern. So it was a very small job, helping like senior designers. There I had a chance to be in the fitting with John Galliano. And he was really inspiring person. And just by a couple of words, like he can inspire everybody in the room. So it was just like looking at magic.
Amazing. And it's so interesting that you set out on this journey, as you said, from a small town in Japan. It's kind of like getting to Oz, right? And then yeah. You get to meet some of the wizards. Tell me then about what the, because you described earlier your sort of design sensibility, this minimalism, attention to detail, quality, a subtlety, which I think, as you said, it's kind of there's a cultural expectation about that. Maybe talk about one specific product, maybe one of the sneakers, one of your big sellers, and tell me a bit more about how the piece embodies those values and what that process is like to communicate your values to the person maybe who picks up the shoe for the first time.
So actually I developed this sense of the attention to the details during my years at Berluti, because they had a really big luxury to afford any kind of development. And you can't imagine like how detail-oriented like Alessandro Sartori is. He is really generous, but very focused. So first role for me at Berluti was designing all these small trimmings. So I started from like buttons and zips. Everything have to be customized just for Berluti. So this is probably where I learned like all this attention to the details, because we are just really talking about millimeters. Mm-hmm. And I get to learn like this small millimeter world is changing the entire world, how it looks. So I stayed there 6 years. During these 6 years, I really developed this sense of perfection that makes the entire like product very different. So we have this iconic shoes now for Timothy Paris, which is called Cabour, which features like this thick sole. So it's looking very, very classic, but we pay attention to every detail is really refined and all the lines are very minimalistic. But I think by looking at it, people can sense like it's a bit different from other sneakers. And also, we pay attention so much on the comfort. This thick sole is actually carved by hand, so it takes time, takes cost. But we can't compromise because many customers are coming back for this comfort.
Tell me a bit then, Russell. It seems like the business has grown really organically and with care, and that often speaks to the values of the founders, of course. Mm. Do you have to be careful about how you plan for future growth, make sure you're keeping to your principles, doing things at a steady pace? Has that happened quite organically, or does it require lots of control?
Actually, it's actually happening organically. because we don't really put like huge marketing budget to attract many people. I mean, we were lucky that we could present our collection at PT Uomo, where we met like many good retailers. And we are not rushing to be bigger because really, like, for me, we are not looking to like sell millions of pairs right away. Like, we want to make sure like our product is right, our clients are very happy with our quality, and moreover, like, our mission is to take people outside and then walk, right? So it's not about money for us. But we are very excited to announce that we are having like first flagship store in Paris, scheduled to open in May.
That was Masamitsu Hata, the designer and co-founder of Timotei Paris. You can learn more about the brand by heading to timoteiparis.com or by stopping by the new flagship in the 4th arrondissement. And that is all for this episode of Eureka. We'll be back at the same time next week. The programme was produced by Laura Kramer, with mixing and editing by Jack Dewars. You can listen again and find out more by heading over to monocle.com or catch up with the archive via your preferred podcast platform. If you'd like to reach the team, email Laura on lrk@monocle.com. I'm Tom Edwards. Goodbye, and thanks for listening to Eureka.